Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Welcome to Lesson 19, which I've titled Jesus' Arrest and Trial. We are going to look at chapter 18 of the Gospel of John as we continue on this wonderful and blessed journey of studying the Gospel of John. And what a blessing it has been so far. I believe you have been blessed too. So I'm going to do an overview of this chapter from verse 1 to verse 40, break it down, then look at the key revelation that we find in this chapter, which is John chapter 18 and verse 37. Then we'll conclude with five lessons that we draw out of the chapter that will practically give us keys and wisdom that we can apply in our daily lives. Hallelujah. Now get your Bible, get your notebook. I hope you have been taking notes and following through with your own Bible also as you read through as we go together. Now we pick up chapter 18 from chapter 17, where Jesus prays a powerful prayer, as we saw in the previous lesson. What a prayer, which is still speaking even until today. That's the power of prayer. When you pray as you are led by the Spirit, those prayers sometimes minister even for generations to come. So Jesus now is done praying for the disciples and praying for the believers that were to come, including you and me. Then the Bible says he then takes his disciples and they cross the brook Kidron, where there was a garden. So they enter into a garden with the disciples. Other gospels tell us the garden, and they tell us the Garden of Gethsemane. And we are told that he often went there. It was his custom to go there with his disciples. So this was a place where they regularly met for prayer. So you see, Jesus was given to prayer, not occasionally, but oftentimes. And the Bible talks of Judas, who was to betray him, that he knew this place. He knew this place. And one of the things that out of all the other places, Jesus could have been arrested in the temple. He could have been arrested in Galilee performing miracles, but where they came for him, he was in a place of prayer, which is a stronghold. That's where they came for him, and that's where Judas knew that without a doubt they would find him there, because he knew that he was committed to a life of prayer. If someone was going to say, look for you, and they say, this person, if you want to get them, at this time they are praying, will we find you there? Are you committed enough to consistently be seeking God? Or you are known that at this time he's watching soccer, he's doing this and that, not for spiritual things. Judas was able to identify where to go and betray him, because Jesus and his disciples were given to praying often. So Judas, having received a band of men and officers, these were soldiers, so when he went to the chief priests and the Pharisees, he was given some soldiers to go with, and they came with torches and weapons, and they are coming to the garden where Jesus is. Jesus already away, he then says it, he saw them and he asked them, whom do you seek? That's verse number 4. And in verse 5, they answered and said, and answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. He was not hiding. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood by him. So John does not record the kiss. He just records that he stood by him. And the moment Jesus said, I am he, those that had come fell backward to the ground. The power as Jesus spoke. But look at how hard their hearts were. even after they fell, they rose up again. Jesus asked again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go away." So you see that their hearts were hardened even after witnessing the power of God. They rose up again and continued to want to arrest Jesus. Now we see from verse 1 to verse 18, Jesus betrayed and arrested. So this encounter is betrayed by Judas, who even after Jesus had prophesied that he would do it, Satan had entered him and he was not repentant at all. He went ahead with the plan because he had been enticed by money that he was given by the chief priests and the Pharisees. And you see the danger of greed. The greed, the love of money led Judas to betraying the Son of God. But his ending was a disaster. You see that he ended with suicide. So these men then come for Jesus, and Jesus says, "If it is me, then take me, but leave these others." Jesus was protecting his disciples. And the Bible says that it may be fulfilled that those that you gave me, I lost none of them. But what happens is when Peter sees these guys, he takes out his sword and he strikes one of the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. We see this in verse 10. And Jesus said to Peter, "Put away your sword in the seat where it stays. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" So Peter is there for prayer, but while he is there for prayer, he has a knife, he has a sword with him. So when all these prophecies of persecution are coming, Peter says, "I'll be prepared," and he has a knife or a sword with him. When these men come through, he's ready for a fight. And Jesus says, "Put away your sword. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So Jesus says, "We are not fighting. I am submitting to the will of God." Peter was ready for a fight in the natural. In other gospels that we, the synoptic gospels, you see that the Bible says, Jesus took the ear and returned it to the high priest, healed the ear. So he picked it up and put it back. What a miracle. While people are persecuting you and coming to arrest you, Jesus is healing them. And he's showing Peter that the battle is not physical, it is spiritual. Because Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to come and fight for him, but he didn't. You are submitting to the will of God. Now, from verse 19 to 27, Jesus is questioned by the high priest, and we see there Peter's denial of Jesus, which Jesus had prophesied that he would do when he had said, "I am willing even to die for you." But here he is already, we see him taking out a sword, and he wants to fight. So the officers took Jesus and they bound him and they led him to Ananias first, for he was the father of Caiaphas, who was the high priest. So the father-in-law of Caiaphas is the one who attended to the trial of Jesus first. And it was the high priest who had said before to the Pharisees and other priests that it is better than one man dies than for all of us to perish. And they did not even know that he was prophesying the death of Christ for the salvation of the world. So Peter followed Jesus and the other disciple. This other disciple is John writing about himself. And the disciple who is John was known by the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. So John went inside, Peter stood by the door. Then the disciple who is John went and brought Peter inside the door. So Jesus is then questioned while Peter is outside with other men and they're keeping themselves warm by the fire. The high priest then comes and he asks Jesus of his disciples and his doctrine and says, "Where are your disciples? And what doctrine did you used to teach?" And Jesus replies in verse 20, "I spoke openly, I preached openly, I taught in the synagogue, in the temple, where you were, the Jews were. In secret did I say nothing. Why ask me thou? Ask them that heard me." So he's saying, I preach this in the open. It's not a secret. If you want to know what I taught, go and ask the people I taught. And one of the officers there struck Jesus with his hand. So he clapped him. And Jesus said, "What evil have I spoken or said that you should hit me?" And that man said, "The way you have answered to the high priest, the way you spoke to the high priest." So you see there that this was the high priest's father-in-law. But already they were beginning to accuse him. And one is striking him, the son of the living God. And Jesus is doing nothing. After this, they then send him away further, now to Caiaphas, the high priest, so that they could further try him. And Jesus too, not Jesus, but Peter stood and warmed himself. And someone said to him, "You are also one of the disciples." And he denied. And another came again, a servant of the high priest, and said, "I did see you with him in the garden." Now this was the third time, and Peter denied. And as soon as he denied, immediately the cock crowed, just as Jesus had said. The prophecy was accurate to the dot. In other encounters of the gospel, Matthew and Luke, we hear of there Peter then beginning to weep, because he realized that the prophecy of Christ had come to pass. But in Luke we hear that Christ had told him, "I'll pray for you that your faith may not fail, that afterwards you may strengthen your brethren." So now from verse 28 to 40, we see Jesus before Pilate. Now Pilate was the Roman governor. Now in this time, Rome was a superpower. It had colonized much of the known world at that time. And Middle East, Judea was in the hands of Rome. And what Rome had done is it would send its governors in the places where it had colonized to oversee government in that area. So Pilate was the governor of Judea. So they were rulers over Israel. So the chief priests then take Jesus to him because they knew they could not order his execution. They wanted it to be done under the Roman law. So they take him there, and it is just before Passover, and they bring accusations about him to Pilate. And Pilate is listening to all this. And in verse 31, he says, "Take him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put a man to death." So you see that they had an agenda that Christ should die. And they knew that under the Roman law, they couldn't just put someone to death. So they were looking that Pilate could do that on their behalf. And that saying, verse 32 says, that saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which spake signifying what death he should die. So Pilate is shocked at what is happening. So he entered his judgment hall again and called Jesus to himself. And he said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered him and said, "You say it so. Is it you who says this thing, or did others tell you to ask me this?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? thy own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? Verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should be delivered, not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So here is Jesus. And look at this way. He is in front of a Roman governor. And this governor is almost like an ambassador, but not really an ambassador, but he's a representative of the Roman Empire. He's a representative of Caesar. So Jesus was in front of the superpower of that time. And he's telling him plainly that my kingdom is not of this world. It's not your kingdom, the Roman Empire. I have another kingdom that is actually superior to yours. If I were of this kingdom, my servants would be fighting you right now so that I may be delivered from you. Hey, Jesus knew his authority. Verse 37, he then says, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus said, it is you who say so. And he then says, to this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I may bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. I will come back to this scripture. It's our key scripture. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in this man. So Pilate is trying to, he is the governor, but he is also over the law of that province that he was over. So he is the one who was also judged. So he is trying Jesus, and he sees that there is nothing that Jesus had done that warrants that he should die. So he goes to them and says, I see no fault with him. But then they say to him, but you have a custom that I should release unto you one at Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then they cried all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So there was a custom that was there during that time, that during Passover, he would release one of the prisoners just to please the masses. And Pilate says, now it is Passover. Him trying to have a way to release Jesus says, who should I release between the two, Jesus, the king of the Jews, or Barabbas, who was a robber? And you see later that the high priest even influenced people to choose Barabbas, who is a robber, instead of Jesus, who was healing people, helping their children, opening blind eyes, healing the paralyzed, the lepers. Still, out of greed, jealousy, and envy, they are pushing for Christ to be crucified. But all this was to fulfill what was written. You remember Isaiah prophesied, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Oh, hallelujah. Now, the key revelation that we see here is John 18, verse 37. He says, you are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am king. In fact, the reason I was born and I came into this world is to testify the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. So here, Jesus is plainly telling Pilate that as you are saying, yes, I am king, and for this reason I have come. Before this, he had told him, my kingdom is not of this world. So he's saying, yes, I am a king. I have a kingdom. Mm-hmm. But you must understand the reason that I have come into the world. Why this is happening. I've come to testify the truth. And who is the truth? It is the Word. And who is the Word? Jesus Christ. And anyone who is on the side of the truth listens to me. So you see that the Pharisees were not on the side of the truth. They were against the truth and they would not listen. So Jesus understood the reason why he was born, and born to Mary, a virgin, and became flesh so that he may carry our sins in the flesh. And he says, I came into the world to testify the truth. He understood his assignment. Hallelujah. I will look now at five lessons that we draw out of this chapter as we conclude. Lesson number one. Prayer gives us power to overcome trials and tribulations. When they came to arrest Jesus, he was in a place of prayer, interceding prayer. The victory that sustained him, or the strength that sustained him to endure the cross, he got it in the place of prayer. I've seen over the years that no matter what I go through, I've gone through seasons that I call wilderness seasons. What sustained me in those times was the times of prayer that I had. So prayer gives us the grace to overcome and be victorious even in a time of tribulation. Lesson number two, pray for discernment of when to fight and when to submit to the will of God. Jesus knew that the hour had come. He did not fight it. There are times, you remember in our previous lessons, that they would try and capture him. There's a time they tried to stone him when he had said, before Abraham, I am. And they understood that you are saying he is God and greater. At another point, he said, I and the Father are one. They wanted to stone him, but the Bible says he went through them. He hid from them. He avoided them. Why? Because it was not yet time for him to die. He had not yet accomplished his assignment. But when the hour came, Jesus submitted to the will of God. That is why in other portions of the gospel, you hear him saying, not my will, but your will be done. So he submitted. He did not fight. But Peter did not have revelation. He did not have insight. So he was fighting, yet it was the will of God. That is why at one point in Matthew 16, Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You have no concern for the things of God. Why? Because Peter did not know when he was trying to resist what Christ wanted to do. He was now being used by the devil. So it's very important to understand when to fight and when to submit to the will of God. It takes discernment and revelation. If you fall, don't remain down. Repent and rise up again. And we see that in the life of Peter. Three times he denies Christ. Three times. A man who had walked with Christ, served Christ, very zealous, and had said, wherever you go, I will go with you. But the man fell into denial. But that was not the end. Peter repented. And you see it later. He becomes a key apostle and a leader in the church because he did not remain down. No matter what has happened in your life, where you have fallen, the Bible says, a righteous man falleth even seven times, but each time you rise up again. Arise, shine, for the light of the glory of God has come. Lesson number four, know your identity and purpose. That's very important. If you are to be effective and to fulfill your calling and divine purpose, know, discover your identity. Jesus knew who he was. He didn't need anyone to tell him. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew he was the King of Kings. And he understood the purpose why he had come. In John chapter 4, he said to his disciples, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish it. He understood his purpose. That is why he told Pilate, for this reason I was born and I've come into the world. He knew the reason he was born and why he had come into the world. Purpose is understanding the reason why you were born and why you are alive. Discover your purpose, align with your purpose, and pursue your purpose. Lesson number 5. Choose Jesus even if you are all alone. Avoid making decisions because of the masses. Many were swayed by the masses and could not stand with Jesus. When the high priests stirred up the mob against Christ, many could not stand up for him. They could not make an individual decision for Jesus. May that not be your story. May you not be swayed by numbers. Be swayed by the truth and stand by the truth. For you cannot do anything against the truth, but for the truth. For stand for the truth. And who is truth? Truth is Jesus. And who is the truth? Jesus is the Word. And that Word will make you free. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. What a blessing. Let us connect again tomorrow. Stay blessed.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev. I.T. Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.